It's been a long time coming, and football's back.
Football back.
Football back.
Football back. Football
the bridge stagger.
Modesty. I got it's my so chin strap.
Let go.
All I gotta say.
Hey.
Football back.
Yeah.
Football back.
Football back.
Football back.
Football back.
All I gotta say is football back.
Football
I put
back
it all on the line.
Yeah.
I got my chin strap. All I gotta say is football back.
Football back.
The ladies love it. Hey, when football back.
Football back.
The fellas love it. Hey, when football back.
Football
all
back.
Lies on me. You can picture me scoring, football back.
Football
catch
back
me running and throwing,
football.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 What up, what up, what up, gang? It's the Upon Official Review Podcast. We are back in action. It is almost, it's unofficially fall, but it is officially football season starting today.
Hell yeah.
And we are super stoked about that. We know you guys are. By far, even though the Phillies, you know, we love the Phillies, we love all of our Philadelphia sports teams, football season is by far the most popular coverage that Official Review does. NFL
oh, well,
season.
Yeah. It should be, too.
Sunday tweets. Everything. Football is the king.
Here's the thing about football. This
yeah
is why it's so much better than everyone else. It might not, you know, the playoffs are not necessarily the best playoffs.
Playoffs?
You know, I think hockey has the best playoffs.
Okay.
Or maybe the NCAA tournament.
NCAA tournament is awesome.
Yeah. But the regular season of football is just as good as the playoffs of football.
It is. It's awesome.
Every week of football is just and more awesome than the one before, and it's almost, they're almost better because you get more games.
Yeah,
I have the Red Zone channel, which is just, I mean, the greatest thing that has ever been created. I love it. You know, it's a shame when the Eagles play 1 or 4 o'clock, because I would rather them play primetime, so I get to just watch straight Red Zone for 6 hours, and then that awesome touchdown montage they do at the end.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, where they do every touchdown of the entire day.
It's yeah, whoever totally cool invented Red Zone, whoever invented that is just is a genius.
It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so great. It's like, oh, the games are all over. All right, touchdown montage. Woo! You know.
It's cool.
But yeah, the, like, you know, hockey, the regular season is terrible, you know, because everybody makes playoffs. Same with basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, baseball, the regular season as overall matters more because less teams make the playoffs, but every one game matters way less, you know.
Way
so
less, yeah.
Now, I love the regular season of baseball. You know, that is a good regular season, but it's not as good as football regular season.
No.
It's just not, and nothing is. And that is what separates football from everybody else, that every game is so important. The regular season is huge, and, you know, the other sports, you know, just can't possibly replicate that anywhere close to that, because, you know, two of the sports have, like, pretty much totally meaningless regular seasons. One of the sport has meaning, but there's so many games, you know, it's, you're talking 10 games at a time means anything, not any one particular
right
game. So
right.
That's why football is king.
Here's another thing that I think is unique to football more than other sports.
Okay.
Other sports have it to a degree. Baseball has it to some extent. Basketball, they're almost non-existent. Rivalries. Hockey, they're almost non-existent as well. There's only a you know, maybe
well,
hockey's
hockey
probably strong.
Hockey does.
It's probably stronger.
Flyers in Pittsburgh. Flyers
yeah, Pittsburgh.
Those are good rivalries,
what,
definitely.
What other ones do you, like, in hockey?
Back in the day.
Besides Flyers and whoever else, like, who else hates each other?
Well, they do. I mean, we don't care because we don't care about any other
yeah
team. But, like,
but
Montreal and Toronto, like, they get pretty good up there. And,
yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, is there's no hype behind it. Like, why doesn't the NHL say, hey, you know, let's watch these two people play each other because they hate each other? You know what I mean?
They might, but it doesn't work in America. Americans are never going to watch some other random hockey team. They're only going to watch their own.
That's
just
that's
never going to happen. So they may, like, advertise on some whatever channel, which we wouldn't be watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
But
the other thing, too, is since the regular season matters so much more, you know that these teams are going to play each other – you know, more often, or right. the teams, the games that they do play, they matter. You know, right. if
I do think
the Devils in the regular season, meh, you know,
right? Yeah, exactly. The playoffs are when really the rivalries are made, and if, that, that's what matters.
Steelers are playing the Ravens. You're watching that.
Oh, well, you're watching. I mean, I'm watching anything.
Yeah, you're watching them anyway, but I, people know it. That when teams...
Agreed. No, that's true. I mean, the fact that you're playing twice, a, you know, a year, every year...
And those games are meaningful.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And those players...
You know, the stories are better in football, at the very least. I will give
college
you that.
College football, they're even... They're fantastic, too. But even
yeah,
in the NFL...
I'm looking forward to the four-game playoff in college. We got, what, one more year of this to deal with, or two more years?
Next... Is it next year or 2 years?
I don't know. I think it's 2014, but then I wonder, is it going to be January of 2014 or is it going to be the season of 2014?
Yeah.
If it's the season of 2014, we get 2 years without it being in effect. If it's,
I'm excited about that, dude. I think that's actually going to make recruiting better because now you know you got a shot.
Yeah.
Your squad comes in.
They still, like, they should do – I don't know why they have to do baby steps. Like, why don't you just go straight to an 18 playoff?
That's what I say. Yeah, I say you go to 18.
Because a small school, they're still going to figure out a way to rank them fifth. You know they are. Mm-hmm. Because it's like before, oh, we can rank them third, no problem. So they got to third. And they would never rank them in the top two. But now, and they would have said, oh, see, they would have been third. You know, but I guarantee you the voting will change, knowing that the top four make it now. They will not let them get third. They will vote them fifth. I can see this happening. Boise State or whatever team goes undefeated. Obviously, it's not going to be Boise State because they already lost to Michigan State. But they almost beat them. But whenever that happens, maybe not this year, maybe next year, whatever, it will happen. They're going to end up fifth. I can just smell it. I just know it's going to happen. And I'm already mad about it. I'm already angry about it. It's like, you know, they have to lock themselves into like a 12-year deal. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, why do you do that? Just make it eight teams because there's never going to be an undefeated team ranked out of the top eight. In fact, I would even go one step further. The top seven, it's either the top eight or the top seven and the highest ranked undefeated team that's ranked in the top 25.
Yeah.
If there is one. If they're already in the top seven, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but if there is one in the top 25 that's undefeated that's not ranked number eight, that's ranked lower than eight, they make that eight spot. Otherwise, it's just the top eight. That's what I would do. I would do it like that. That way, to me, it's totally fair.
Yeah, I think it gets – if they did it like that, it would be more fair and balanced for even the recruits because they know they got a shot to play for a national title. You know, what if they want to stay close to home? They don't want to go to Alabama. They don't want to go to –
now it's like almost like figure skating. The French judge is screwing us up every time because they have coaches – voting like
yeah, you're right. The coaching like, vote, the coaches
the
voting.
The guy that coaches USC is voting. It's like, well, do you think he might have like a conflict of interest here? Maybe just
probably
a little bit. Like these guys can vote like and put one guy like way down low when it helps their own ranking, and they do it all the time. When it comes out, wow, this guy voted a team that was clearly second. They ranked them fifth, and that enabled their team to move up one rank. It's like what?
Yeah,
like how do they let the coaches that are coaching these teams affect who makes the playoff? Like what?
Yeah, what if that was in the NFL? Like teams
like,
that
up. Yeah, these general managers. Like who do you think they're gonna vote for? Because then the smart ones are gonna say we're number one. The number two team is number 30, and the number 30 team is number two. Because you know what I mean? The number two votes on the 30th best team is not going to matter at all because they're not getting votes from other people.
Nope.
So you can really screw it up that way and get reverse order. From the worst team gets second, and the second worst team gets third, and the third worst team gets fourth. I mean, you can really, you know, and they don't go quite that egregiously in college, but I mean, it's pretty egregious nonetheless that, you know, Lane Kiffin gets to have a vote on who makes the playoffs. I know he gave up his vote because he was, you know, completely abusing it, but.
Right.
But the point is, he was completely abusing it, and that's why that shouldn't happen. But anyway, I digress. Let's get back to
the NFL. Back to the NFL. Good discussion on college football, though. I hope to get to a couple games this year, if possible. Maybe a rivalry game or two. So, yeah, man, let's start off in the AFC.
Okay.
And we'll start up north. AFC North, Steelers, Browns, Bengals,
black
and the
Ravens. Right? Or no, the NFC North, the black and blue division.
Exactly.
Really, either North could be the black and blue division.
It's true.
They're both awesome divisions.
They are really good divisions. Well, aside from the Browns.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be like a laughing stock.
The black sheep, right? Exactly. What are you doing here? So yeah, predictions from you, sir. Why don't you give me the you know, teams 1 through 4, and after we talk all 4 divisions, you tell me what your 2 wild cards are.
Okay. All right. The AFC North. I think the Ravens this year. Maybe the Bengals. Maybe I should have some balls and vote for the Bengals. I really, as much as Flacco, he went to my school, University of Delaware.
That's right. Pat Devlin.
He's got a great Philly accent. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback.
No, even after AFC Championship game.
Hey, okay, I know, but he's just 57% complete. You got to get that up.
Right.
Got to get that rate, that number, at about 62%. It's about 5% low. Yeah, he's good, but he's not great. You know, he's not like a great quarterback. That I will definitely say. He's good, but not great.
He's like, if you had to rank him, he's closer to 5 or closer to 10?
Closer to 10.
Okay.
I mean, I would put him right with Vic. They're completely different quarterbacks. Vic, only because you can't rely on him to play.
Right.
You know, if Vic was, okay, guaranteed to be there for 16 games, he'd be much higher. But it's just not a guarantee.
Right.
You know, you'd say odds are closer to that he's only going to make 8 games than 16 if you had to bet on one or the other. I would, at least to me.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm going to go Bengals – or no, I'm – no, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns.
Okay.
I almost decided to pick the Bengals, but I chickened out.
Yeah, man, it's interesting to see if the Bengals can leapfrog the Steelers. They made the playoffs last year at what, 9-7?
Yeah, I don't remember. It was either 9-7 or 10-6. You're probably right.
Don't think they
Steelers. Won. I just think maybe we're getting a little old. I'm just hoping. Maybe it's wishful thinking. But on defense, like, those guys have been there for a while, so I'm hoping. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have a new offensive coordinator. Mike Wallace held out. This is a tough one for me because I definitely think the Ravens are number one. Ray Rice is great. Anquan Boldin is 2 years removed from his injury, so he should be better.
Yes.
They are going to miss Terrell Suggs a lot, but they just always seem to draft well on defense. And they got another linebacker. His name escapes
me.
That should be good. He should help them off the edge on that rush. I'm going to go Ravens. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go Bengals 2, Steelers 3, and Browns
distant fourth.
Picking up the pieces again. Yeah. I almost feel bad for Cleveland. I really do.
Yeah,
almost.
But then you remember they're Cleveland, and it's like,
yeah,
well,
exactly.
Well, nah, they sort of deserve it.
Exactly. So I really was pleasantly surprised by Andy Dalton and the Bengals. The Bengals. Cincinnati,
yeah.
I have a little bit. I've actually been to Cincinnati.
The receiver, AJ Green?
Green, man.
Yeah,
he is
awesome.
True.
Yeah, he is awesome.
Still, he doesn't even have an NFL body. At least he didn't last year. He's real, real skinny. So if he put on a little weight in the offseason and he can actually, like, catch something over the middle, he's going to be even more dangerous. Like Julio Jones, that plays for the Falcons, we'll cover him
next. I think he's going to have a big year.
He's going to have a huge year. And he's got an NFL body, dude. He is.
He's going to be an awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's move to the AFC South. We got the Jags, the Colts, the Texans, and the Titans of Tennessee. Who do you got there?
Well, you got to go Houston first. And then after that, it's just a big mess. You just don't even know. You wonder how, you know the Colts are going to have a better quarterback than they had last year, but how much of a difference can luck make in 1 year, especially with the rest of that roster? I kind of think – I don't really like either of these other teams.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough pick for a second.
I guess I will go Tennessee 2,
Tennessee.
Colts 3, Jaguars 4. And you could easily talk me into Colts being 2 because I think Luck is going to make that big a difference. Painter was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And going from him to Luck is going to be a big difference. And it's just going to get everyone on the team has more hope now. Even if they're not great this year, they Luck makes them realize we're going to get better. We're going to keep getting better. And that might have them play well. Yes, last year they just didn't have anything.
Yep.
No hope.
Yep.
They were just in the toilet. They weren't getting out of it. And, you know, now they have this guy who's just going to keep getting better and better, and he's going to raise the level of play.
Didn't Kerry Collins start last year for them at some point, the Colts?
Yeah, I think he did, actually.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. Yeah, that's – you're not going anywhere with Curtis Painter and Kerry Collins. Yeah. And the third stringer, Dan Orlovsky, I want to say.
The guy who, you know, was behind Detroit 0-16 season. Like, why would you want that guy on your roster? It's like, he already proved he was, like, the worst quarterback ever. You know? He's already kind of shown that he can not win for 16 games, you know?
They're like, number one pick, let's go.
I guess, yeah, that was the plan. Suck for luck. But, hey, it worked.
It worked. It did. And
you know what pissed me off about them? It's like they're talking about they want to win the 17th game last year. It's like, what? You know, like, okay, you know, maybe 8 games into the year, you want to say you want to turn around and win. Yeah, okay, I get that. But you're telling me that you want to screw up getting Andrew Luck and end up as, like, the third or fourth pick, which they could have.
Yeah.
They did win the last game, and they got lucky that other teams won also.
Yep.
But that could have screwed them up for the next 15 years. A meaningless, completely meaningless win. I'm sorry. Now, I wouldn't have told the players on the field. I don't think you can have them trying to lose. That just makes a mockery of the sport. But you put the worst combination of players in the game.
Yep. You get everybody playing time.
That's what the Phillies should have done at the end of the regular season last year. We would probably won the stinking World Series. But, you know, I guess it's better to play the hottest team, you know, rather than make them play a one-game playoff. We wouldn't want them to do that, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yep.
How's that work?
And I might be getting my stories conflicted, but the infamous Santa Claus booing game from years and years ago, one of the reasons why Eagles fans were so on edge was they won two or three meaningless games that season. And so they essentially played themselves out of the number one pick, who would have been O.J. Simpson. Mm. Everybody wanted, wanted, who had, like, you know, an amazing career with a bad team. He could have been an Eagle, but they won a bunch of games, so the fans were just like, did you do that? Like,
yeah, it's like,
why would you have a team
be Philly? You suck so bad, but you still can't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, dude. At least lose the games you need to lose to get the number one pick. Come on, that's terrible. So,
mathematically eliminated South, playoffs.
Yeah. South-wise, I'm going to go same with you. I'm going to go Texans. I do like Jake Locker in Tennessee. I think they're going to be good. Their tight end is really good, too. Cook, I think he finally may have a breakout year. He's like 6'6", ran like a 4.48 out of college. He's one of those other, like, freak athlete tight ends, kind of like Gronkowski and Graham. Yeah. But he hasn't really had a shot to kind of shine yet, so maybe this will be his breakout year.
I think they're missing the boat with Gronkowski. His name nickname clearly should be the Gronkster. I mean, obviously, and it's just it hurts me inside that nobody saw.
You know,
that.
And he looks like a Gronkster too. Like,
he is a Gronkster, totally. Like, he's such a Gronkster. I don't know how I'm the only one that saw this. Like,
there's no one else.
The whole world's gone crazy except for me. That's the only thing. That's why it's the only conclusion I can draw from this.
He could not be anything else but a professional athlete.
Yeah, or what he really should be seems like is a professional wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hold him head. You can just see it.
Exactly. That's just what I was going to say. A professional wrestler, like an MMA dude, just like...
No, I'm talking WWF.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. WWF, like, you can tell, like, what he's good at is just ramming his head into the wall. Like, that's your job, like, running into, like, blunt objects, dude, like, nothing else. Nothing. Doesn't he have, like, a couple brothers in the NFL, too?
Yeah, I heard something about a brother of his. I don't remember exactly in what.
They do, is just, lift weights and run into things. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So, the Jags are going to be in fourth, but it does look like that Blaine, what's his name? Gabbert. Yeah, Blaine Gabbert. It does look like he's actually played a little better. He looked horrible last year. Ugh. And they got a receiver. They got, even though he's an idiot too, Blackman. He's really good.
Blackman is good.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a good career.
I think so too, if he can stay out of trouble. AFC West.
Gabbert's still their quarterback. Yeah. Blink. Yeah, so that's the problem there.
That's what I'm saying. No, he's looked better in preseason. Like, he's looked like he actually learned how to read. Yeah, last year.
Let's not read too much into preseason here.
Right, but you do have to at least show that you're making the right read.
Yeah, it's better than playing crappy in preseason. Good point. Yeah.
Exactly.
That you definitely don't want to see.
AFC West. Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs. Who do you got out there?
Well, I would have to pick, I think the Chargers are going to have a good year. I love Peyton Manning. And I might look stupid by not picking him, but the Chargers always have the talent to go like 13-3, and then yep. North Turner just finds a way to screw it up. And I actually think that he knows he's going to get fired. He's in the same spot as Andy Reid, and they both should have been there long ago, if you ask me. But yep. I think that will make him a little extra motivated to not be completely retarded. So I think they're going to have a big year. I think Peyton Manning's going to have a big year. Also, but I still think the Chargers are going to win. So I go Chargers, Broncos, and does it really matter after that? No. Let's go Raiders, then Chiefs.
Okay. Interesting. I'm going to go Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. I'm going to go almost opposite of you.
All right. That's cool.
Because I think the Chargers they don't have Vincent Jackson. They did get the other wideout from New Orleans. Meacham, I want to say. All those guys are interchangeable. Everybody Drew Brees throws to is interchangeable.
Yeah, they're all going to get over.
Lance Moore. Too. Yeah, exactly. All those dudes are just like interchangeable.
Who was the guy? The Alvin Harper syndrome. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Second best wide receiver on a good offense.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, like, no kidding. He's single covered every time he goes out there. It's like, yeah.
Yep, if you can run a route, you should be able to catch the ball. But I think they're going to finally fall off. I'm not a huge fan of their running game. Their defense is solid, I guess. The Raiders, they're not playing Al Davis ball anymore, but they do have some talent on offense. Darren McFadden's really good.
I think Carson Palmer's done, though.
You think he's done?
I think he's done. He might. Yeah, I think he's absolutely done. But
I think the Chiefs are the surprise of the division, though. I think they may win 8 or 9 games. I like their coach. And we'll see if Matt Castle can put it together at all.
Yeah,
I like their running game with Peyton Hillis and Jamal Charles.
Yeah, you gotta like that. True. Can I change my pick to Chiefs Raiders? The last two.
Yeah,
you talked me into it. Yeah, I'm gonna go. All right, so Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs Raiders.
I am interested to see what Peyton Manning does there. That'll be one of my favorite.
Oh yeah, stories. Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to watch Sunday Night Football. It'll be a good matchup.
Who do they play?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I will tell you in 2 seconds.
Find out in a second, so. Yeah. Yeah, while while you're looking that up, AFC East is Jets.
Steelers, Broncos. I thought it was Steelers, Broncos. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that'll be a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah, AFC East. Okay, Jets, Pats, Dolphins, Bills. Well, Patriots, I'm going to rank them first. I would have ranked the Dolphins second, except they are starting a rookie quarterback who wasn't even all that good at college.
He's got a lot of growth.
So I'm going to go Bills too, because the Jets I do not trust at all, and they're going to have one of those deals where I think it's just the quarterback controversy. Being in New York with Tebow, you know, as the backup, it's going to be big, and they're going to go back and forth and ruin the confidence of both of them and get worse performances out of either one than they could have if they had just stuck with one of them. That's how I see that playing out. I just think that locker room's in chaos. That coach I don't think is a very good coach. He doesn't control. He needs to have a little more control over his players. Over just last year, everything fell apart. You know, he has a guy, you know, as a team captain who is like, you know, showing up late, doing, it's just a terrible example for the rest of the team. It's like, how is that guy your team captain?
Yep.
Like, I know you want him to step up. As Santonio Holmes was talking about here.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you. I know you want him to step up and play like a team captain, but you can't just say you're a captain. You know, he actually has to act like a captain first. Yep. And when you do that and make stupid calls like that, this is what you end up with: a total mess. So I definitely don't trust the Jets. So I'm going to go Pats, Bills, Jets, Dolphins.
Yeah, that's that actually sounds exactly what I would say as well. The Pats are sort of the undisputed champion in this division, no doubt about it.
That doesn't need to be.
And they seem like they've even loaded up even more.
Break that down, like X and O level. Like, yeah, we know the Patriots are good. You know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The Bills will be a little bit better. The Jets are
at least their pass rush.
I gotta say the Jets are worse because if anything, their defense has gotten older. They didn't stock up on offense at all, which is where they were 22nd in rushing and 21st in passing yards. Like.
Great.
It's not going to cut it, man.
I mean, they're going to have a better rushing attack because of Tebow.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also curious to see, like, how many Wildcat packages will they play? Because, to me, their offense is it, they didn't score a preseason touchdown. Like, you don't even score a touchdown in preseason? Like, that's pretty bad.
That's brutal, yeah. Their third-string quarterback had to finally score a touchdown.
Yeah, in the fourth game.
Against, like, the Eagles' deep reserves who got mostly cut the next day.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
it's brutal. Neither of these guys can throw is the problem.
Yep.
Neither one, Tebow or Sanchez.
They're not playing throw to either. After Holmes, who's really – he's not a number one. He's probably a number two.
He's like a one and a half. You know, he's like a really good number two or like a poor man's number one. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely think they're taking – they're not going to – I don't see them taking a step up. Now, what I think they should do – the problem with the Wildcat is it ruins the rhythm for the other quarterback going in and out all the time. And we saw that happening with Vic and McNabb.
Mm-hmm.
The first year we had Vic.
Yep.
It just, you know, it kind of cost you a play, and then, you know, you had one less play to get that first third down. And, you know, with McNabb with all those worm balls, you know we'd throw one off target out of any three. So I really only gave us one chance now at it. I just didn't love it. I think what you should do if you're going to do the Wildcat is actually have Tebow be the starter. So he's always the one in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if you think about it. I mean, think about it. When the quarterback hands the ball off, you know, okay, that's two players. Now you've got nine blockers, right?
Yep.
Now, if the quarterback's actually the guy that runs, you have 10 blockers. It gives you an extra player.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's,
I mean,
one
it's
on
definitely
one on the defense.
Right. I mean, it's definitely a better, you know, you get an extra because you don't, you're not your quarterback's not your lead blocker on the, you know, obviously not. So, but if the quarterback's the runner, you know, you get an extra player. So in theory, those runs should be better. But to me, it ruins Sanchez's rhythm, which is going to be kind of non-existent to begin with. So to me, if you want to do that, now I think, I mean, I'm not sold that Tebow's this great quarterback or anything like that. I think he's a great person, and everything like that. But don't think he's a great quarterback. But Sanchez isn't either. So I would just say let's let Tebow start. That's what I would do. So
I'm looking at the Jets' schedule right now. Their first half of their season is brutal. If they come out of the gate like 2-6 or 3-5, Rex Ryan's gonna be feeling the heat.
I mean, how long are they gonna really wait to put Tebow in if they start slowly? I mean, 4 or 5 games maybe at the most.
They have in the first 8 weeks.
The over under. Yeah, tough schedule. I put the over under at like week 7.
Yeah.
Week six. Week six over under.
San Francisco, Houston, New England.
Tough start.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I'll put it to you. Week 6.5 is my over-under. What are you going? Over-under when Tebow starts?
Wow. Yeah, just barely over. I think after that New England game, after week 7 is New England, Tebow.
You say week 8 he'll start.
Uh-huh.
All
right. Yep. Yeah, that's going to be – and if they're really bad, they may fire Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
As much as he thinks.
No, agreed. I mean, as much as you've done – what have you done for me lately? That's what the NFL is, you know.
And it's the New York.
I don't. Yeah, I agreed. Agreed. All right. So, So that's all the divisions in the AFC, correct?
Yep. You got it, sir. That means it's time to take a break. Come back to what's making Murdoch mad. I like the sound of that. Let's make it happen. All right, sir. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word of Philly sports.
That is us. You guys don't go anywhere.
You play to win, and I don't care if you don't have any wins. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Do top. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a push down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We suck. We suck.
You play to win the game.
That's pitiful.
You don't play to just play it.
Perform like that.
You don't play to win.
What's that?
When you start telling me,
we suck.
It doesn't matter. Do top.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Upon Official Review podcast, NFL preview episode. And before we get into the rest of the teams in the NFC, it is time for your favorite segment, my favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment. It's time for what's making Murdoch mad. Murdoch, tell him what it is.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right. Well, this week, Bud Selig is making me mad. I'm sure not for the first time. Definitely not for the last time guy dies already. And I cannot wait for that to happen. I'm sorry. I know that might make me a bad person. But you know what? I'm okay with that. Screw you, Bud Selig. You know, you've got the technology for instant replay in the stadium, every stadium. It would not cost you a nickel to put this into effect. So what? We like having bad calls. The Phillies just lost the game because of your incompetent officials. Nobody likes your idiotic officials blowing completely obvious calls left and right. I mean, you know, just a couple years ago, I will never forget this, and I'll bring it up every time this discussion comes up. They cost Galarraga on Detroit a perfect game because of a brutal call. That is horrible. That guy's a minor league pitcher now. He should have a perfect game on his resume. He'd at least have that. You know, he doesn't have the riches or the fame, but he would have that, you know, and he will never get another chance. That's something that that was taken away from him irrevocably, and he will never get it back. And it's because of this stupid no instant replay. Every other sports league in the universe has it, except for you. This is just another example of old people who fear change and don't like it. Change is called progress, you idiots. It's called progress. Things get better. Technology increases. Embrace it. Just because this is the way you did something in 1920 does not mean it's the best way to do it now. This is outrageous. I have had enough. Wake up and smell the 21st century, you old piece of garbage. Bud Selig, I hate you. That's it. That's all I gotta say.
There you go, man. Can't be said any better than that, in my opinion.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's a joke. It's a joke. How does every other league have that? Like, and it makes it better.
They should let technology call the balls and strikes. And people act like, oh, that's crazy. Why is that crazy? They'd get them all right. The strike zone would be the same thing every night. You wouldn't, you know, the balls and strikes, everyone's so used to it. That affects a game hugely. I mean, you get calls, you know, it can be either, you know, you're 0-2 or 1-1. Like, that's a big call.
It's huge, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Change the at-bat hugely to be 1-1 instead of 0-2. Mm-hmm. You know, and if that happens in the ninth inning, you know, I mean, that's just – and it's just commonplace now where we don't even blink an eye when they miss a call. But that can change the season. One strike or in the playoffs, one strike or ball could change everything, you know, in a game 5 situation, game 7 situation.
Is the strike zone – do you think that umps take into account, like, height and reach of a player? Like,
they're supposed to – well, not reach. It only side to side. It only matters the size of the plate, but height is supposed to be knees to letters. You know, never will they actually hit the letters. You know, they don't. They call that a ball.
Right.
So I don't know exactly. It's more like navel, really, what they call. Regardless, it should be computerized strike zone. It would be so easy to do. You just have on a third strike, you'd have to have a noise go off so the batter would hear that it was a strike. To know if the catcher dropped the ball, whatever, run to first base. That's the only time it would matter that you need to know right away. But all you have to do is on a third strike call, a little buzzer goes off. And if you don't hear the buzzer, you know it's a ball and you don't run. It would be very easy to do. And you could let the ump stays there to make calls at the plate, which are reviewable. But, you know, to me, why do we want these guys messing up? Now, nobody can do that. It's a hard job. You know, there's nobody in the world that would do it really well and not mess up. We're all humans. We all make mistakes. That game's happening fast. So I don't really blame the umps. I blame Bud Selig for not allowing us to use the technology at hand to us. You know, and the fact that people act like it's totally crazy that we could never have the umps, you know, the computers calling balls and strikes. They do it in tennis, you know, for line calls. They have the challenge system. I just think it's insane that we would rather get calls wrong. Nobody likes that. That's like the most frustrating thing to watch. Your team gets screwed by a bad call and lose in the playoffs because of it.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding right now?
Brutal indeed, sir. It needs to be.
It's just stupid.
It's out of date, yeah.
We've always done it. It's the worst reason to do anything in the world. The worst reason in the history of the world. That's the way we've always done it. It's just old people who fear change and don't want to change. Well, you know what? Too bad. If you fear change, then you better retire and go sit on a beach somewhere and let somebody else who, you know, knows what it is to live in the 21st century, you know, do the job. Because clearly you don't deserve to be the commissioner. They should just make me the commissioner of all sports. But
your time has come, sir. Your time has come. It's time to finally upgrade. there are some bad commissioners in general.
Are any of them actually good? I mean,
yeah, that's true. Are any of them actually good?
Bell's the best, probably, of them all. But
yeah, but I'm actually gonna rant about him in a little bit.
Yeah, it's not because he's good. It's because the other ones are so bad.
They're so bad. You're right. Yeah. All right, so let's get down to the NFL teams. Let's get into the NFC West, sir. We got the Niners, Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks. Everybody's pretty much in consensus that the 49ers are gonna run away with this division. How do you see it?
Closer than that. I think Seattle's gonna be decent this year.
The rookie QB, huh?
Yeah. The reason is because it's in a bad division. At the very least, at the very least, they're gonna have four, easy pushover games against the Rams and Cardinals. Right. So, you win those four games, that's a pretty good start. And you got 12 games left. If you can even go, four and eight, and you got a 500 season. If you can go 5-7, you got a chance to be in the playoffs. So, while I do think the Niners will win, I think they won't be as good as they were last year. I'm kind of thinking 10-6 for them, something like that. A lot of things kind of broke right for them. They didn't have much injuries at all. They had like no injuries, unbelievably small amount of injuries. They won a lot of close games. I don't necessarily think that they're going to win every close game, and they're going to have some injuries, you would think. So I think they're kind of regress a little bit, but they'll still be good. They'll still win the division. Seattle comes in second, and then the Cardinals are terrible. The Rams are terrible. I actually think the Rams will be better than the Cardinals. I think Cardinals will be an absolute
Cardinals
dream.
Are terrible.
Kevin Cobb. I mean, thank goodness Reed. As stubborn as stupid as Reed can be, thank goodness he cut bait with Cobb after a half. Because that was a horrible half to watch against Green Bay. He was so bad. And he's just a terrible quarterback. Yeah. And somehow we got a second-round pick and a really good cornerback for him.
Yeah.
Which is the biggest steal in the history of the league, probably.
It might be.
Because he's an absolutely awful quarterback. It put any pressure at him, and he just freaks out. He can't handle it. And terrible. He's an absolute terror. He's not even a starter, and they guaranteed him this insane amount of money.
A stupid amount of money, yeah.
$20 million guaranteed. It's just ridiculous. He will be out of the league in 2 years, or making the veterans minimum as a backup.
Right.
Or a third string. I don't even know if he's not a good backup. Well, you don't want him in the game at all.
He fooled everybody. He was the NFL Offensive Player of the Week twice.
Yeah, and that tells you – see, McNabb looked good. People were like, oh, remember how Berman was like, oh, be careful what you wish for, Philadelphia. this guy's going to show everybody. He got on his high horse about how, we're going to – oh, really? And what did we exactly miss with McNabb, huh? How good was he once he left? He sucked. Okay, yeah. He's out of the league. No one even wants him as a backup. No one even tried him out this offseason.
That's a shame.
And I'm not angry at him or anything like that. But it's more, the point is Reed can make quarterbacks look good when they're not good.
Sure can.
So that's what happened with Kevin Cobb. That's what happened with McNabb. And so Reed has a ton of flaws, which is why I would like to see him gone. The problem with Reed is, I'll hold off on that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll talk about
the Eagles. But, So, anyway, Cardinals last. So, 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, then Cardinals.
Yeah, I see it breaking the same way. Seahawks are decent. I like Pete Carroll. I think he's been around for a while. I think he knows kind of how to win.
I don't think he's like a phenomenal coach, but he's a solid coach.
Exactly.
Solid coach. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They had that weird pick. I remember their first round pick was like this outside linebacker from West Virginia, and everybody was like, "What in the world?" Because apparently he wasn't supposed to go until like the third round. But
team does that.
Yeah, exactly. But
the guy from Temple is supposed to be a fifth round pick.
Yeah. So we'll see how that turns out for him. If that
that's never a good idea, because you know what? If everyone thinks he's gonna be a third round pick, he'll be there in the second round at the very least.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay him less then too. So it just doesn't make sense when the teams do this.
Yeah,
and it doesn't ever work out well. There's never been a case in the history of the league where they draft him two rounds early, and it's like, well, thank goodness we did that. No one else was gonna draft him two rounds early. You can draft them. One thing, if you feel so strongly, to me, you draft them one round early. If you really, you never two rounds early, ever. Mm-hmm. Do not draft a third round guy in the first round. You yeah. know, mm-hmm. so whatever. Anyway,
yeah, we'll see how.
Let's move on to the NFC South. This is going to be a fun division.
Absolutely.
I think this year
mm-hmm.
you got Falcons, Bucks, Panthers, and the Saints. And right off the bat, a lot of people are saying it's the Falcons' year because, you know, the whole bounty thing with the Saints mm-hmm. and everything like that.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, they're going to be – it's us against the world. Nobody believes in us. Every time a yeah. team can say nobody believes in us, they do awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like these guys that are, you know, millionaires need somehow extra motivation.
Extra motivation.
People need to doubt them. Right? They can't realize their potential somehow. So,
well, you need something to motivate you, dude, when you drive $700,000 car.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So – they've got a big time nobody believed in us thing going, and they're angry at everybody. It's like an FU season like the Patriots had in 07 after Spygate.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be pissed off. I think they're going to be awesome. Drew Brees is awesome.
Drew Brees okay? is so good.
I was so sad when they lost in the playoffs because I want to see Packers Saints in the worst way.
Yeah,
that was
me
best
too.
Game last year.
We're
I can't wait.
Anticipating it so much.
September
yeah.
30th this year, they're going to play. I just can't wait. It's going to be awesome, 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 awesome. I think Saints are going to be awesome this year. The defense cannot be worse than it was last year. They've got Spags running the defense. He's a great defensive coordinator.
That's right. He is there.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that they don't have a head coach, big whoop. Drew Brees is a head coach on the field. They're going to win this division. Go
now, side note. I've heard commentators say that if Peyton, you know, Sean Payton's obviously not coaching this year, but if this team manages to play really well without him at the helm, does that devalue head coaches overall?
Well, no, because first of all, it's 1 year, so you don't know. It's a unique situation where you've got one of the best quarterbacks ever in Drew Brees.
Right.
So. You know, not a lot of teams have a quarterback like that. And the other thing is, the coaches they bring in may actually do a good job. You can't
right.
say that these other guys are terrible and it's, wow, the coach doesn't matter. Like, maybe they actually were really good, these two guys that are going to bring in. Now, it's two guys because the one guy's suspended for half a year, so they're actually going to have two different coaches for the first 8 games and the second 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. If you know for sure that the coach is doing a terrible job, somehow, if you could quantify that, And then say, well, they did it well anyway, but I just don't see that. Obviously, coaching matters. I mean, you look at the Eagles all these years, you know.
Right.
They don't know how to run a 2-minute drill. They waste timeouts. This stuff matters. You know,
mm-hmm.
it might not be as big of important as is your quarterback good, but it's up there. So I don't think so, no. I think it'll just mean that the other guys they have are good coaches. That's what I think it will mean.
All right. So how do you have them finishing?
Definitely the Saints first. Yeah, Falcons second, Panthers, then Bucks last. You know, Panthers will be a little bit better, but they weren't that great last year. I mean, Newton had a great year, and he's going to be a great quarterback. But, you know, it'll take time. They'll improve a couple wins, but I still don't think they'll win more than about 6 games or so. And the Bucks, you know, they've been bad for a couple years. Oh, actually, they actually were 10-6 2 years ago. Everyone kind of forgets that because they've been
yeah.
bad otherwise so long. It's just like – we just kind of ignored that ever happened. But
they got a rookie coach. They got the guy from Rutgers,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll take him a little bit of time to adjust.
This is a tough division with those other teams in there. So All right. So
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Okay.
I'm going to go the Falcons first.
Okay.
I think if any year, this is their year to kind of overtake the Saints. I think their offense is going to be really good. Their defense, there's not really any, like, great defenses in this whole division. I'm trying to think of even some defensive players that stand out to me.
The Falcons have Samuel Asante.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is what he is.
Yeah, he's
a turnover.
The
high-risk, high-reward kind of
right.
kind of
he gives up touchdowns all the time, but he will get some interceptions for you.
Exactly. So
and he won't tackle.
He definitely won't tackle. Every time he made a tackle, it was always like, what? He made a tackle? Like, what? I don't understand. So I'm gonna go Falcons, Saints, Carolina, Tampa Bay.
Okay.
It's gonna be close though. I feel like the Falcons may win it at like 11-5 with a tiebreaker, or like, you know, 11-5 and Saints have 10-6. It's gonna be close. The Saints will definitely still be in the playoffs, and they're gonna do damage whoever they play. So yeah, let's talk NFC North.
Now this is the black and blue division.
Yeah,
this is
Packers, Bears, Lions.
This is going to be the best division in the NFL. I think there's no doubt about it. This is the AFC East of football, with the Packers, Bears, Lions. Just those three right there. That's three great teams.
Yep.
You know, the Bears, everyone forgets.
Wait, say that. The AFC East or the AFC...
Or, I'm sorry, the American League East of...
Yeah, the American League. I was going to say, yeah, AFC East is kind of top heavy. But that makes sense.
I'm at the, like Yankees,
like in
Red
baseball,
Sox.
Yeah, Yankees, Red Sox. Yeah, yeah, right. Tampa Bay. That is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and the Baltimore even this year, let's not forget.
Yeah, that's right. They're one game back of Tanks, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Could get them and Tampa winning the wild, one of the wild cards, you know.
Be cool.
And then Oakland's been the best team for a while too. So there's actually some good stories. I mean, you know, I know the Phillies, but I'm, you know, the playoffs are still gonna be fun. You get two wild card games are gonna be awesome. You know, winner take all.
Yep.
I love the fact that we get that every year now. Anyway, so
yeah, you've been talking about that for a while.
This division, yeah, oh, this is gonna be great. It's gonna be. I mean, it's a shame the Phillies aren't in it, but it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be phenomenal to watch regardless. Anyway, the NFC North, tough to really pick against the Packers here, and I'm not going to do that. So clearly the Packers, I don't think that needs to even be said. Aaron Rodgers, best player in the NFL, hands down. And he doesn't even have the contract he has is like the same as Kevin Cobb's. He gets paid as like one of the worst quarterbacks, huh. And he's the best. Like, this guy clearly has the best contract of anyone in the NFL.
Yeah, it looks like
it's unbelievable.
Agent needs to do a discount double check.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But you know, whatever. He's still making plenty of money. You know, yeah. not exactly hurting or anything. But the Bears, you know, they were 7-3 last year before Cutler got hurt. And now they have Brandon Marshall.
They have Brandon Marshall, who's
so I actually think
like best friend on the field.
Yeah. Now I do think, you know, Urlacher's going to have a hard time being as good anymore. His knee is, you know, I kind of understand. Yep. Knee trouble. It's tough.
Yeah, he's banged up.
Yeah, and he may never be the same. He's kind of old too. Regardless, their offense is going to be better, and their defense will still be good. They still have some really good players over there. Julius,
well, their coach can just coach defense too.
Yeah, Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
Who's the other linebacker they have?
Lance Briggs.
Lance Briggs. He's really good.
Yeah.
It's funny. The Eagles always devalue linebacker, and I've always pointed to, you know what? The Bears have had a good defense forever based on having two good linebackers. That's
exactly.
Like the lead part of their defense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Their linebacker, you know, and defensive line's all they got pretty much. And then they've had a phenomenal defense, but, you know.
Exactly.
Whatever. Anyway, they finally sort of addressed it, though. To me, I still think D'Amico Ryans is not the answer, though. I think their intentions were good. They just, to me, still need to use high draft picks for linebackers in the next draft, too. Anyway, so... but Bears 2, Lions 3, Vikings 4. I think Bears and Lions will be close, but I think the Lions might be a 9-7 team this year, and they're going to find it tough. It's just that's a brutal division. You know, put them in another division
really
or a playoff.
Is.
I think they're going to just miss the playoffs. And people, oh, what's wrong with the Lions? This is nothing really wrong with them. The Bears, again, lost their quarterback last year. The Bears would have had their spot, I think, last year.
Man, that wild card race is going to be insane.
Yeah. You know,
the NFC has some good teams, man.
Teams from the NFC East, teams from the NFC North. At least the Falcons or the Saints from the NFC South.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be, you know, definitely three teams in the NFC East to me. You know, so two of them battling for the two wild cards. There's two teams in the NFC South. That's a third team. And there's three teams in the NFC North. So that's five teams battling for two playoff
spots. Yeah, man.
It's going to be, towards
the end of the season, it's going to be great to watch.
That early loss could be the difference between being in and out. And that's what happened to the Eagles last year. So.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
But that's how I see. How do you see that division breaking down?
I got Packers. I think they're going to come down to the earth a little bit.
But still Aaron Rodgers.
I do like, still Aaron Rodgers. I like Cedric Benson as a running back there. I was really surprised he kind of didn't get picked up, didn't get more offers and everything like that. He had a good season last year.
Yeah.
So I think that'll make them a little bit tougher. Their defense, that's the thing they needed to improve. Their defense was bad last year. They outscored
everyone. They did draft all defense, which
was
smart. They had to.
They
clearly,
to.
Their offense was, you know, fine.
Really, the tough pick here is going Lions or Bears for number two.
That's a tough pick. That's the tough pick.
Because you got to figure the Lions are getting getting better with age as Stafford and
Calvin
and
Johnson. Yeah, he had a bunch of primes. He's arrested in the offseason. I don't think that coach has control of the team.
That's true.
That's my thing with them. As much as you love Stafford and Megatron, the thing about Stafford is going into last year, he was Matthew, can you stay healthy Stafford?
Right.
So, you know, yeah, he stayed healthy last year, but let's not forget, you know, little soon we forget that before that it was can he go through a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just because he went through one doesn't mean he's going through two.
Right.
So the between those two things, that's what I said as far as, you know, why the Lions are the third best team, in my opinion, in the division.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see that. That's a toss up to me. I think they're both can go 10-6, 11-5. You know, if they can.
Yeah, I mean they can't both because of the Packers. There's just too many divisional games.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know what I mean? True. Like that's the thing. They're not going to both go 11-5. They could both go 10-6.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance to both go 11-5. There's just not enough wins.
Mm-hmm.
Playing each other and the Packers.
Yeah, you know what? I do have a little more confidence in Lovie Smith. I think I'm going to go Bears 2, Lions 3, just like you. And you know.
Now, that could be that. That's the closest call of any that I've had so far.
Yeah, I agree.
Three in that division is the one that could go either way. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for the NFC, except for our division, which we will talk about when we come back. So we will take a short break, come back, do the illegal procedure, and then talk birds, man. It is time for the prime time. So we'll take a break. You guys stay tuned. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word of Philly sports.
That's right, the last word of Philly sports. You guys stick around.
Fans are the best fans in the NFL, best fans in the world. They are very passionate. They love their football. They love their team. They love their players. And so every time I'm out in the
No secrets. It's all about the niggas. Yeah. The Philadelphia Eagles. It's all about the Eagles. Yeah. Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles stepped up and we came to play. When you see the Super Bowl, tell them that we on our way. And comparing any other team is a dollar to a milli. It's all about the Eagles and Philly. Really? See, we prepare for any game. Ain't no question if we ready though. Whether we playing in the rain or beat them up in heavy snow, that ain't ready for Westbrook. See, that's where the style's at. Automatic TD when big go.
Welcome back, gang. It is the Upon Official Review podcast. Back in action just in time for the NFL season. Kicking off tonight, where I'm hoping for a 0-0 tie between the Giants and the Cowboys.
Yes, and many exploding spleens.
Exactly.
On the field.
That's a bevy of injuries to the starters. Yes, exactly.
Ruptured spleens is possible.
I hope the coach gets injured. That's how much. I hope somebody.
Bernie's out there, all right? On some cart-offs.
Exactly. I want to see you and Yura run over Jason Garrett. And the coach gets injured for several games. That's how bad I want these teams to get hurt.
Would be the best day of my entire life. Hands down.
That would be fantastic. Yes. But it is time for the illegal procedure. So let's get into that.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
All right, people. Illegal procedure this week goes to none other than another commissioner. We have a commissioner streak going with the rants this week.
Telling you, let me be the commissioner of all sports.
We should.
It'll be a better place.
Fix it. Absolutely.
Much better.
So Butt City League gets the illegal procedure, or gets the what's making Murdoch mad, and Roger Goodell gets my illegal procedure for him and the NFL overall for having scab referees.
And it's over like $4 million. Like, yeah, $4 million is nothing.
It's a joke. It's a joke. The NFL makes so much money. The NFL. It's ridiculous how much money they make. And really, we're going to start the season with
billions with a B they make. You know, that's a lot.
We've got just if you guys have watched the preseason and all, it's ridiculous how bad some of these backup referees are. It slows the game down. They're making absurd calls like touchbacks when the ball was down on the 4-yard line. Like, what in the world? You see replay booths taking way longer to do when it's obvious to everybody what the play call is. It's ridiculous. It absolutely makes no sense to me why they won't pay the referees and get on with the game the way it's supposed to be. Literally, there's a referee that's working right now who is he has the Lingerie Football League on his resume. Like, really? We got an LFL person working in the NFL? It's a joke. It's a joke.
It is a joke. I will also say the referees have partially to blame here because, first of all, they're not exactly great at their jobs either. And second of all, what they're asking for is not reasonable. The pension thing, they want a pension plan better than full-time NFL employees. It's not right. The rest of the employees in the NFL, including the players, don't get pension plans like this. Why should they? Right. They're part-time employees. So that's ridiculous, first of all. They should give in on that. They should give in on that. The league should give in on paying the extra $4 million, and let's meet in the middle and be done with it. But I think there is problems on both sides because the pension thing is unreasonable based on the referees. If I'm the league, that would be a sticking point for me too. And honestly, you know, yeah, the refs did make a lot of mistakes, but the refs always make a lot of mistakes. So is it really going to be that?
Some of them are really egregious.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, there's always a lot of egregious ones. I just kind of wonder if it brought attention to it more because these guys, everyone was looking for it. You know what I mean? I wonder how many egregious mistakes get made in the preseason every year, and no one cares because it's preseason. Let's see what happens in the first week. I'll give them the preseason; they were getting up to speed. If they're awful in the first week and decide games, then I'll be a little more upset. But it was only the preseason, so you know they're kind of getting their practice, their feet wet, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hope it's not.
But I hope let's get the real refs in for sure, no question. But at least we're gonna have 1 week without him. So,
all right, sir. NFC East. Dun 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 dun.
Dun 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 dun.
Psyched, and it starts tonight. Dallas Giants. Who do you got? You know, 1 through 4. Everybody knows. You know, the Eagles, Redskins, Giants, Cowboys, the usual suspects.
Yep.
Who do we got coming out, you know, on top, and then we'll talk birds. We'll break the birds down a little bit.
Well, I mean, I'm obviously biased.
Yep.
So, you know, if you really want, like, a fair breakdown.
Listen to another show.
I'm kind of hovering between should I pick the Giants, should I pick the Eagles. I don't trust Andy Reid. I really don't. Here's the problem with Andy Reid is, while there's some things he's really good at, no question about that.
Eating.
Yeah, he's good at eating. He's good at that. Yes, he is. But no, you know, he's like what you said earlier. He's good at making quarterbacks look good.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Cobb, Donovan McNabb. You know, he's good at certain things. But there's other things that are completely obvious blind spot, and he's just so arrogant. It's arrogant to hire a guy who's never been a defensive coordinator at any level since high school 20-some-odd years ago as your defensive coordinator in the NFL. It's arrogant. It's everything I do turns to gold. It doesn't matter what I do, it will turn to gold. That's just arrogance. It was arrogance to hire McDermott. It was even worse. It's just hubris to hire Juan Castillo. It's a travesty that they stayed with him. Yeah, I know they tried to get Spagnuolo. You know what? There had to be other guys, as in a million other guys better than Castillo. Just random guys from college that were our defensive coordinators.
Yeah, guys that are really good at Madden.
They could have pulled in 100 coordinators from college, every one of whom would be better. You know, they wouldn't be as good as, like, regular NFL ones, but they would be better than Castillo because he's not a regular NFL one. He's just bad. It's like Asamoah. He's really good at one-on-one on the outside, so let's put him on the inside. Like, what? How about we let players do what they're good at, you moron? Is that really such a hard thing to figure out? No, it's not. Anyway, the point is, everyone knew going into the season that was a horrible idea. Did it burn us? Of course. Everyone knew that having a wide nine – would put extra stress on the linebackers, and we had linebackers that wouldn't have been on the practice squad of any other team. Did we know that ahead of time? Yeah. Did it burn us? Of course. The point is, he's arrogant, and the things that are obvious to everyone before the season are the things that do us in every year. And there's always something. It's the wide receivers. So we have Charles Johnson. We have these terrible wide receivers that wouldn't make the squad of any other team. Yeah, and it's like, well, do you think that might hurt our offense? And then the Carolina game, it was totally obvious. So they knew that. Now, Ricky Manning Jr. just manhandled these guys, so they said, okay, we need a wide receiver. But it was 4 years too late. Had they had wide receivers earlier, we would have won a Super Bowl. Okay? Now they finally do it. And then it's like, you know, linebackers. They have no linebackers. They've had no linebackers for like the last 6 years, and it's hurt us every year. And finally they're like, okay, well, maybe we need linebackers. Do you think? You know, genius. Now they don't have a safety. It's just there's always something they don't have. You know, this year it's better than usual. I'll give them that. But they still have Juan Castillo. The point is, though, we would have Super Bowls with an S if Reed had just not done incredibly obvious stupid things like that everyone knew were bad ideas. If he had just stayed away from that, which every other coach in the NFL does, because they would get fired if they did these things, then we would have won Super Bowls. But he won't. He just refuses to do stuff that's obvious that any random football fan who knows almost nothing about the game, just a random idiot, can tell you this is terrible. These are terrible ideas, and somehow he doesn't understand it. Like, that's the problem I'm having. This guy's getting paid millions of dollars to understand what a 12-year-old could see is, hey, these linebackers are terrible. We shouldn't have this wide nine. Hiring an offensive line coach as a defensive coordinator is a terrible idea. Everyone knows this, and yet he does it anyway because he's just stupid. He's stupid. So that's the problem with Reed, is there's always going to be things that he's stupid about and cost the team, and we know it going in, and he doesn't care, and that's why we lose. And he wonders, I wonder why I've never won a Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, do you think it's because of the obvious weaknesses completely ignore every year, like that everyone knows? Like, maybe that's why. Yeah. So there's my Andy Reid rant. Yeah, he does do some things well, but he completely ignores other things that are totally obvious that kill the team, and they've done it for years, and I'm tired of it.
Everybody scratches their head.
That it will ever change, because this fat piece of crap is never going to change. He's an idiot. He is not smart. I guarantee you, I would blow him away in an IQ contest. He can't think on his feet. You know, I could sit there and in 4 seconds think of, if I do this, 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 and this is going to happen. And then I could think of four different permutations for each one of those four. And I could do that on the fly. You know, that's what you need to do in the NFL. You need to have a calculator up in your head, and you got to know the numbers, and you got to figure out what the percentages say to do at any given time, and that's what you have to do. And not a lot of people can do those kinds of things, but you know what? You know, he's getting paid millions of dollars, so it's not too much to ask. I'm sorry. It's not too much to ask that he'd be smarter than I am, or at least as smart as I am. That's all I'm saying, if he's going to be a head coach in the NFL.
It's true.
So,
it's true.
All this to say, I'm picking the Giants because I don't trust Andy Reid. I also don't trust Vic because Vic, you know, is unnecessary risk himself in the preseason, so I don't believe that he's going to stay healthy. So I go Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Redskins, and I wish I could go Redskins, Cowboys. You know, I am, just because I don't like the Cowboys. Redskins, Cowboys. You know, I don't really think that, but
Cowboys. Let's put the Cowboys in the basement anyway.
Yeah. Stomp on them. Like, Dominican Sue. Stomp on the Cowboys. I wish he was against the Cowboys.
Yeah, really?
Like, yes!
Stomp them all.
I would get that on a... I'd have that, like, you know, all over my walls, posters.
Wall, of paper.
Dominican Sue stomping on the Cowboys.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, I like that. I'm gonna stick with your Cowboys at the basement. I'm gonna put the Eagles at the top. I hope it does. It hinges on whether Vic can play
right
13 games. You know, if he misses more than two or three, then this
gonna be tough. Because we saw what happened with those wild. When we were talking about how many wild card good teams are gonna be in the NFC, it's gonna be tough. You know, if they blow a couple games because Vic's not in there.
Yeah, there's some good, some really good teams.
It could be too little, too late at the end. It was last year, so
exactly. Well, let's I'm gonna take a look at the Eagles,
schedule.
The schedule real quick. Yeah, the schedule, and I'm trying to determine whether or not the first half or the second half of the season. Actually, it looks like the
first half. It's
first
tough.
Half is a lot of tough.
After the first three games, it's gonna be brutal. Yeah, after that. It's going to be a brutal stretch.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be 3-0, I'm thinking, as I look at the schedule. The Baltimore at home, game two, is the tough one.
That's the tough one.
You're going to beat, you would hope, you, although we lost to Arizona last year. At Cleveland, game one. At Arizona, game three. You hope definitely that you should be able to. If you're not, you can't win those games, then there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
You're not going to make it anyway. But after that, it's home Giants, at Pittsburgh, home Detroit, bye, home Atlanta, at New Orleans, home against Dallas. That's a pretty tough six-game stretch.
Yeah, that back-to-back Atlanta-New Orleans is tough. You gotta win one of those games, if not both.
Right. Well, I think here's the thing. The bye helps you there.
It does.
You know, Andy Reid's never lost after the bye, except the Super Bowl, the one time we would have wanted him to win.
That's right.
So I forget, the Super Bowl was the loss after the bye. I hate that stat.
Yeah,
he's
11
exactly. After the bye. No, he's not.
Bye
before the Super Bowl, and they lost. So it's a big one. That means more than the 15 or whatever else the other number is. But, home against New York. Okay, we're let's go through it game by game. Cleveland, what, win, right?
Yep.
All right, what do you say home against Baltimore?
Home against Baltimore?
Yeah, game two.
I'm going to call that a loss.
Okay. I'm going to go – see, I don't – it's going to be tough to win the division if you call that a loss. I'm going to go win, even though it's funny because you should have called it a win because you picked them win the division. I'm calling it a loss because I picked the Giants. And I only picked the Giants because I'm frustrated about Reed. I really actually do think the Eagles are going to win the division, just for the record. But I'm going to call that a win. And then, okay, game three at Arizona. I call that a win.
All
right. Then home against New York. All right, let me change my pick. Home against New York. Home against Baltimore. I say they go 1-1 in those two. They win one and they lose one.
Okay.
So I say they're 3-1 after four games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be 4-0. That's what I'm thinking. So
yeah.
If they beat Baltimore, they lose to New York. If they lose to Baltimore, they beat New York. So the 3-1 after four.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yep. I'm with you there. I'm 3-1 with you. Yeah.
All right. So at Pittsburgh, loss, I say.
Yep.
Home against Detroit, win.
I'm going to call it a win.
It's a tough game because it's right before the bye. There's a couple games that a lot hinges on. That's one of them. But we got to win that one. So
I think we match up well against Detroit.
I agree. I think so. I think we're going to be able to move the ball against them.
Yep.
I don't think they – I mean, look at the points they gave up to Matt Flynn and then no shame against the Saints. But
right.
They gave up like 8,000 points in 2 weeks.
Really did. A ton of – like 200 yards of offense. Like ridiculous amount of
yards. It's like, Matt Flynn threw for 6 touchdowns. The record of Green Bay. He's got all the records now. Like Matt Flynn.
Yep.
With Irv and, Rodgers.
Rodgers,
Matt
yeah.
Flynn records.
Yeah. Art star.
And then it was like 45 and then another 45. They both scored 45 against them, right? Or something like that.
Something like that, I don't know. Yeah.
Like pretty close to 90 points in 2 weeks. So I'll give us a win by definitely home against Atlanta. After the bye, that's a win, I say also.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, I'm with that.
See, now I'm at, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, I'm 5-2. I might have to change that. Well, see, if they lose against Pittsburgh. All right. So 5-2. All right. So then at New Orleans, 5-3. That's loss, definitely.
Yep.
I think. All right. Home against Dallas. Call that a win. So now we're 6-3. You with me there?
Yep, I'm with you.
All right. At Washington, that's a win. 7-3. Home against Carolina, it's a win. 8-3.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know though. Then I look at those three games and I'm just going to say they got to lose one of those three. Home against Dallas, at Washington, home against Carolina. So now I'm going to say they're 7-4 now. I'm not going to go 8-3. That's a little too – either that or they'll end up losing to Detroit or something like that. I'm going to say 8-3 or 7-4 with five games to play. At Dallas, I will go loss. I don't think they're going to win both against Dallas. At Tampa, that's a win. Home against Cincinnati, win. Home against Washington, win. At New York, loss. So I got them 10-6.
Yeah, I got them 11-5.
Okay, yeah, 10-6, 11-5. It could easily be 11. I think they're going to be closer to 11-5 than 9-7.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So. Again, all of this hinges on Vic's health.
Is 10-6 enough to win the division? Probably not. That's why I'm picking them to win second. And 11-5 probably would be enough to win the division.
I think 11-5 wins the division. Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. There's a couple rough stretches, That six-game stretch, they can – a lot of it hinges on the first three games. If they can go 3-0, that means they don't have to do quite as good. They could go 2-4 in that stretch.
And then there's that game 4-9 are New York, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Atlanta, New Orleans. That's the murderer's row. All of those teams are – playoff teams last year.
That's what. Well, actually, to me, I'm saying even you put in Dallas four, games 4 through 10, the six game stretch: New York, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Atlanta, New Orleans, Dallas. That's going to be a tough game too, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a brutal six.
Here's where I think we own Dallas: is their offensive line is patchwork right now, and the Eagles' defensive line is stacked.
Yeah, but it's not going to be an easy game.
No. We killed them twice last year too. Remember?
Yeah, but I also remember like 3 years ago we killed them, and then the year after that they beat us.
They beat
twice.
Us.
So
yeah, exactly.
You never know what's going to happen year to year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Dallas misses the playoffs again this year.
I agree. It's still. I don't think it's a walkover though. I mean, Tony Romo. He's got talent. You know, he can. Yeah. He puts up 4,000-yard passing seasons like every
year. Yeah, and their running back is good.
McNabb never did ever once had a 4,000-yard passing year. He never, ever had that. Never had 40 touchdowns. Romo's done that a couple times. So,
mm-hmm.
He's not – as much as I hate him, I think he's a bad quarterback, he's not a terrible quarterback. He's got some talent.
He's not clutch.
Right, he's not clutch, and he's a Cowboy. So, I mean, you know. But,
exactly.
but it won't be a total like it's not. I'm not gonna look at that and say the same thing as I would as I'm looking at Cleveland and Arizona. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Definitely not gonna be an easy game. So
right. I almost wish that Carl was playing that Arizona game. He may be starting. Who knows? Skelton's not the answer. I know that.
Yeah, well, Skelton beat us last year, but it can't happen again.
No, it cannot happen again. Absolutely not. So let's talk about kind of some of the storylines or surprises that you think. May happen this year, either on the positive or the negative side. I'll mention one off the top of the bat. I did not think that Azealia Hanson was going to get cut. I was really surprised by that.
I was surprised by it too. I feel like they're going cheap. I think that was a let's be cheap here. I don't see how you can tell me that this guy is going to be more reliable to be on the field all the time. Like, wouldn't you not want to? Cutting Hanson was a mistake because if this guy falters, what do we do now? You know what I mean? Like this, somebody else snapped him right up. San Francisco, maybe? I don't know. Oakland? I don't know. Somebody over there snapped him right up. I would have liked to have kept him on the roster at least for a couple weeks to make sure was going to be able to do the job, because the slot cornerback, who, while not technically a starter, he's going to see 60% of 70%.
Absolutely, because there's so many passing downs now in the NFL.
How often is it just, you know, two tight ends, two receivers? Not very often. It's a lot of time three wide receivers. So,
dime packages are out.
He is a starter, regardless of whether they want to call him a starter or not. He's a starter.
Yeah.
The slot.
31, and they say he's declined. You know, the Eagles.
I just would feel a little bit better. Now, hey, this guy's good. That's fine. You never know how a rookie's going to react. That's why they didn't hedge their bet at all. And I would have liked them to see them keep him for a week or two, maybe, and then cut him if the guy's doing fine, you know?
Yep. I agree. It's very surprising.
Certainly don't have much depth at cornerback if we get any injuries, as considering we did last year. But I think he's going to be good. So, in the end, I'm okay with that. I would have rather, like I said, just play it a little safer. I don't think we need to keep all these running backs that they kept. I would have rather kept Hanson than Chris Polk, you know.
That's the thing. You don't know when those guys are going to get on the field. What's the point of having running back?
Four running backs?
Yeah, LeSean McCoy.
I'd rather have four cornerbacks, because two of them get on the field at once and three of them get on the field at once a lot. And four of them sometimes, that happens.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to throw those four out there, Boykin and Hanson. But whatever, I get it. He's younger, he's cheaper, faster. So it might be that Hanson is, done and whatever. It's not like Hanson's going to make or break the team. So I'm not like super upset about
this. Do you think that LeSean McCoy can repeat what he did last year?
No, because Jason Peters, that's going to
really hurt. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, Jason Peters is going to – you're going to miss him a lot.
A lot.
And they say he's – run blocking is one of the best things he does best, and whereas one of the things that King Dunlap does the worst.
Right, and he had a lot of success running around the edge to the left side last year. And I don't think we're going to get that same success to the left side this year. We have Harriman's on the right side, and Harriman's is good, and he's the blind side of Vic, and that's nice to have, but, if it's not Vic, then we're going to have Dunlap guarding the blind side if Vic gets hurt of the other quarterbacks, so that's definitely something to remember. you're a little worried about that. It's a shame. It's just a shame that he had to get hurt.
Yep.
I would have loved to see what this team could have done with Peters, because he was our best player. Let's be honest. Yep. I mean, him, he was our best player.
17 TDs.
And McCoy was one of our best players, but no, he was the only guy where you said he's the hands down the best player at his position in the league.
Yep.
You know, McCoy is hands down top three, but you know, Ray Rice and Ed Foster, you know, definitely are right there with him.
Yeah,
and but nobody was there with Peters, and so we're gonna miss him. So I don't think McCoy quite will, but he will. And if Vic stays healthy, that'll help McCoy also, because obviously if Foles, you know, they're gonna have a run heavy attack, and which he'll get more carries maybe, but also the defense will key on him more.
Exactly.
So. I think that will hurt his numbers, actually, surprisingly. But no, I think he'll be fine, and it won't be his fault that he has a it's going to be slightly a couple degrees worse just because of Peters, I think. So that's what I think.
I'm really looking forward to watching the Eagles' defensive line play.
They looked awesome in the preseason.
They looked awesome in the preseason. Everybody.
How many sacks did they have against Cleveland too? Clearly they had.
Yeah.
They knew that. The guy they drafted, the quarterback, Whedon, holds the ball low in that pocket. So I think we're going to see a couple fumbles this week also.
Sunday football, exactly. But Vinnie Curry, Phillip Hunt, Daryl Tapp.
Yeah, it's absurd the depth and talent they have on that defensive line.
And Michael Kendricks might be my new favorite Eagle. Like,
he's awesome.
He's so good.
So glad just get the guy, Ryan's, and say, oh, look, we finally got a linebacker. I was like, they need to draft one, too. I kept saying that. I was so happy on draft day when they got him.
Yeah.
I love the tackle they got, and I love him. Both that was just right then and there after those first two picks they had. I didn't care what else they did the rest of the draft, because that was awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
Chris Cox
and
Michael Kendricks.
Defensive end they got, Curry, they did not need. That was like a weird thing to draft to me. I would have rather seen them draft, you know, an offensive lineman at that point. But maybe there wasn't a good one out there, so I don't really, you know, I don't break it down quite like that. Where I know,
well,
like,
here's the thing: that's going to help our. We don't want Trent Cole to get wear out like he always does.
Correct.
And then is Babin going to start on Sunday?
Yeah, he said he's 99% ready to go. Yeah, he's practicing this week.
Well,
that's good. Really, I would like to see some of these guys step up to where we can cut Babin at the end of the year, because you know he had kind of an empty 18 sacks where he sucked against the run, and he the wide nine got him a lot of sacks. Trent Cole being on the other side of him got him a lot of sacks.
Trent Cole is a better defensive end than he is.
Yeah, definitely. I'd rather see somebody else, like Brandon Graham. This is what you really want to see is him step up. And next year be Cole and Graham be the starters, and that or not cut necessarily. You can train
on like 20 pounds. Brandon Graham did, which is awesome.
We're talking, oh, he's gonna be good. He's gonna prove to everyone that they should have picked him instead of Jason Pierre-Paul, which he's gonna have to really have a great year to prove that. Especially considering he's not a starter going into the year.
Yeah,
but to me, I'd love to see him step up, and then even you know you could trade Babin at the trade deadline and get a pretty high pick for him. Guaranteed you get at least second round pick.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and if Babin's proved that, and if Graham's proved that he can be a starter and be better against the run than Babin, to me it's a no-brainer then. You trade Babin, get whatever the highest round pick you can get for him, and let the kid go. You know, let him pin his ears back, and you still got plenty of depth at that position. So that's what I would like to see happen. I wouldn't mind seeing Babin go, because, yeah, he had 18 sacks, but wasn't good against the run. And somebody else that again put someone else there, they're gonna get a lot of sacks. Being in the wide nine, being across from Trent Cole, and if they can be better against the run and still get a lot of sacks, I'm fine with that. I'd rather see 12 sacks and a little responsibility of trying to stop the run rather than just go straight for the quarterback no matter what, even on running plays, which is what Matt did. So
yep. All right. So here's who I think is gonna have a better year this year. I think that Macklin will be better because he's healthy for all the training camp.
Random weird illness that we never,
exactly
weird whatever that was. We
don't I think Macklin will be better, which we need. I think that the guard they draft, Watkins, will be better.
Yep.
If we can get some push up front, because remember how the Eagles could never convert third and one. That'll be huge for them. If they can consistently get those third and ones, fourth and ones. They have a good interior line, even though they're not huge.
Are we going to suck on third and one and in the red zone on both sides of the ball this year? We have to be so frustrating where we can't stop anyone in the red zone and we can never score in the red zone either. It's like, you have to be bad both ways? Can't you be bad just on one side? Like, give up a lot and score a lot? You know, can we do both at least or neither? Be real stingy in the red zone on defense and not score? Do we have to suck on defense and offense in the red zone? It's like, man, that's frustrating, you know? It's like, you know, if you're a good team and you are just the same on both sides in the red zone, you're going to be, you know, a very good team. If you're an average team and in the red zone on both sides of the ball, you'll be a really good team. You'll end up with a really good record. You know, and if you're a good team that has good numbers in the red zone, you'll be a great team. And that's what matters. Three's a lot worse than seven. Only 42% of a touchdown. That's not good.
Any other predictions for the Eagles or any kind of other things you'll see that stands out this year, either good or bad?
It comes down to Vic. It really does. And injuries overall. If we get decimated by injuries, if the team can overall stay healthy and Vic stays healthy, we got a shot to do some. To make a run. If not, I don't think we do. So that's what it comes down to. So let's just hope for some early wins and some health for a quarterback. That's kind of what we got to hope for, I think.
Well, I'll tell you that I saw a TV station or a G4 network simulated the season on Madden. They have the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And Madden typically does pretty
good. Who are the Eagles playing?
The Patriots.
Yeah. And did the Patriots win?
Yeah, they beat us by a point.
Hate the Patriots.
Yeah, I know, right? Even virtually, they
make it again. I just don't want to lose to the Patriots. I could handle losing to any other team. Houston, maybe they can have a good year this year.
Yeah.
Houston might have been in the Super Bowl last year if Schaub hadn't gone down.
Not Schaub, exactly. All right, so let's get out of here. I'm gonna give a couple shout outs. Shout out my man at Philly Sniper. He tweeted at us recently. He's been following us a long time. Also Sarah at the Purple Stars. She's a big official review fan, huge Phillies, Eagles fan, etc. Our friend at Eagles_beauty. My man at Adonis Rebuilt. And I can't forget at Philly B-Girl, that's Danielle. She's a huge Philly fan, especially the Sixers, but she loves the Eagles and everybody else too. I think that's going to do it for me. Any shout-outs for you, sir, anything like that?
No, but I will say go Eagles.
Yeah.
And football is back. I am excited about it.
It is, dude. It is. I'll be tweeting tonight and, of course, all weekend. So you guys, definitely, if you're not already, follow us at Official Review on Twitter. And you guys have a great week. We will talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace.
Get it twisted, got a cold running back. somebody that can beat us. They can't see us, so we steady screaming. Football's back, back, football's back, back. That's all that's on the ESPN is football's back, back. All eyes on the Eagles, quarterbacks and receivers. We going to the Super Bowl to make you haters believe us. We screaming on Broad Street, let's bring this trophy to Philly. Your team is green and we mean big business. You feel me? We're screaming football's back, back. Football's back, back. On the road to victory, we screaming football's back, back.
Work all day, work all night. Yeah, they know what I'm about. Tackling my enemies before that TikTok clock run out. They be yapping at the mouth, thinking they gonna take us out. Trust me, we gon' make it loud and show them this is our house. Really bring the power out, then later bring the bottles out. Celebrate the victory while losers watching from the couch. I be going all out, catch it, then I touch down. Replay, replay, yeah, I got them watching now.
E-A-T-L-E-S, yes.
We cook them like tailgaters, my city the best. We next, Philly, we like to win. Run it in like Mike Vick, I'm quite sick. We be on that green and white tip. I'm the man, dude, you be scrambling like Randu. Football is back, boy, you don't wanna get this man too. Competition get burnt like D-Jack. I keep stacks, bleeding that green and steel.